Good day, everyone. Welcome to a special audio interview on BullMarketRun.com. I'm John Hallstein, editor of Bull Market Run. It is indeed a pleasure, an honor, and a blessing to spend time here this morning with an icon in the mining industry. Sitting beside me right now is Mr. Gren Thomas, president and CEO of North Arrow Minerals, NAR, on the TSX Venture Exchange. Gren's exploits in the mining industry are well known. He was inducted into the Canadian Mining Hall of Fame 2 years ago. He is a legend in this industry with some major discoveries under his belt, including, of course, the Diavik Diamond Deposit in the Northwest Territories. He jointly discovered the richest kimberlite pipe in the world with Dr. Chris Jennings. Gren is still searching for diamonds in the Northwest Territories. He's very confident North Arrow will make a major discovery somewhere on its 100,000 acres. But he has also gotten involved in lithium. He's very bullish on the lithium market. And last year, North Arrow acquired a highly prospective property in North Carolina. The first round of drilling produced very good results. And the drill rig is turning again. It's turning again as we speak at the Beaver Dam Project in North Carolina. Gren, it's great to be with you here this morning. At 69 years of age, you seem to be reinvigorated and determined to make North Arrow a huge success. You've got a lot of things on the go with this company. Let's first talk about lithium and why it is you decided to venture into the lithium space in a significant way.
Well, during a process of looking for silver about two seasons ago, we came across a very large lithium deposit in the Lac de Gras area, and which prompted our interest in lithium and looking into where the lithium market was at, which at the time was just starting to get coverage as a potential battery source, you know. And so having discovered this spodumene deposit in the NWT, which looks like it's probably the best new Canadian spodumene discovery being made in the last 10 years or so, we got interested in lithium. So I went off to learn as much as I can about it, went to conferences in Chile, went to visit the Salars, and got interested in the fact that lithium looks to have a very big future. And so we're looking at other lithium projects throughout the world. You know, and one we came across was in North Carolina, which is located in a belt of rocks known as the North Carolina Tin Spodumene Belt, where the two largest lithium mines in the world existed back between the 1950s and 1990s, operated by the two largest processors of lithium, FMC and Chemmetall. There are two large lithium refineries. The only ones in the States are located within 5 to 10 miles of our property in that area. There's a lot of history of lithium production in the area. And what we're endeavoring to do with the property we have is to prove up some tonnage that we hope could make a mine in an area that's well located from the lithium industry point of view. The property that we have there is relatively small, but there are numerous pegmatites on the property. The challenge for us will be to find a large enough deposit there that we think we can put in production. If we can do that, there's a lot of support for this sort of thing in the area, and our costs are quite cheap to explore there, and the costs of going into production will be quite cheap.
And I know you're not one who usually follows the crowd, which is probably why you've been so successful. Lithium brines seem to be a little more popular than spodumene pegmatite deposits right now. But I know you have a bit of a different take on that. You believe pursuing spodumene has a lot of advantages.
Well, there are a number of projects throughout the world where they mine spodumene and either use it in ceramics or put it into use as lithium feedstock for lithium carbonate. The biggest spodumene producer in the world is a company called Talison in Western Australia, and a lot of its production goes to China directly, where they produce the lithium carbonate in China. There's another project in Australia in the same area with a company called Galaxy, where the Chinese are financing the whole thing to transport to China to produce lithium carbonate. The Mitsui, the Japanese trading house, is also backing the efforts of Canada Lithium on their lithium project in Quebec, which is the same again. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of people out there very supportive of lithium being produced from spodumene.
And in North Carolina, you've got what looks like a shallow deposit. You're surrounded by all the necessary infrastructure, so your costs in terms of putting that into production, if that would ever happen, are going to be quite favorable. It wasn't easy for you to get that package of properties down there. You guys had to do a lot of work.
Yeah, it's not a large piece of ground, but it is contiguously held, and all the... in the mineral rights in North Carolina, like they are in that area, or the eastern states, are owned by the private landowners. So it was a trick of getting all these landowners together and making deals on each parcel, and some of them are quite small, so it was quite time-consuming, which is what inhibits a lot of people from going into the states, really, especially if you're doing exploration. To acquire land before you've found something is very difficult to do, to justify, because you may never find something. You may go through a year or two of grand acquisition and never find anything. Mm-hmm. We were lucky in this case that we could see the spodumene outcrops there on the property, and it's a question of us acquiring property where we know there is spodumene and then evaluating the deposits that are there. There are 30 or 40 dikes. They look a bit skinny, but we're hoping that we can find enough of them in one place. We could build a tonnage adequate to for a mine down there.
You are drilling right now. You started drilling here just recently. How many holes do you plan on drilling? How long is it going to take? And in terms of tonnage, what do you think you need to get there?
Well, we need to get about 5 million tons minimum, I would say, to justify the market cap. We would prefer to find 10 to 15 million tons. The dikes that we're seeing down this so far are relatively thin, but if you can have enough of them in an area, it could work. We'd prefer to find a smaller number of larger ones, if that's possible. And certainly we're hoping that could happen. And so we plan to drill in the next 2 months about 15 or 20 holes, and then we'll reevaluate where we're at by the time those are complete.
If you do find something down there, you've probably got a lot of support to put it into production.
That's right. The American government, of course, is saying that they want American companies to be into the lithium batteries because they see it as a huge growth area, to the extent that FMC, whose refinery is located about 10 miles from where we are, got a grant of 25 or 30 million from the U.S. government recently to develop, components for lithium batteries, and so there's a lot of interest in it in that area. And I think the Americans would certainly like to be self-sustaining in lithium. Mm-hmm. Now they have things in the western states. They have a hectorite deposit that Western Lithium, a Vancouver-based company, owns. They have some production of their own from Salars in Nevada, mm-hmm. but of course the spodumene belt in North Carolina has been the biggest historical source of lithium in North America.
Mm-hmm. You're a large shareholder yourself, of course, in North Arrow. You stated to me a little while ago when we were talking a few weeks ago that shareholders won't see you ever selling any stock in this company. You're in for the long haul until the day, hopefully when maybe it gets taken over, right?
That's right, and that's my sort of modus operandi. I've never, sold out of a company. I've always gone down there and with the ship and made sure the thing has worked, and or else rolled it into something else and kept going, But luckily I've done it once or twice, so it enables me to do that.
Yeah. You've been in this industry for so long, and you've had tremendous success. What has been, would you say, the most gratifying moment for you?
Well, you get a lot of them, and I think the Lac de Gras discovery clearly was the most exciting, one of the most interesting one in many ways. But you do get a lot of satisfaction out of finding something new, and it was particularly gratifying in the Lac de Gras case for the discovery of Diavik, because the involvement of my daughter and a lot of close friends were involved in that project, and that was particularly gratifying. And it was a very exciting time, and I'm hoping maybe we can repeat it again.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. And if anybody can do it, I know that you can for sure. Now, you've obviously been around the resource industry for a long, long time. You've got a great track record of success in terms of projects, in terms of investing. We're not asking you for specific investment advice this morning, but what would you say to listeners here this morning? You know, we've got a lot of very active investors that are looking at our site every single day. What would you say to them in terms of just some general things they should be thinking about to enhance, you know, their success investing in the junior resource market?
Well, I think they should, you know, learn as much as they can about the project and also about the people that are managing the company and get comfortable with those factors, you know. And I think it's particularly important to be involved with the right managers too, because if one project doesn't succeed, you want to have some confidence that the company will continue and find something else to work on. I think if you're, particularly when you're looking at grassroots exploration companies, you need to be involved in with the right management. You know, I think the management might not be so critical once you've got a very large deposit and it can fly on its own, and the management doesn't really matter a hell of a lot. I mean, in other words, when the engineers are in charge. Mm-hmm. But at the stage where it's doing exploration, I think it's important to have the right managers.
Mm-hmm. And I know that North Arrow certainly does, so people can have confidence in that. Grant, it's been a pleasure speaking with you here this morning. I know that I'm sure we'll be talking to you as we move further along here in the coming weeks and months. Best of success at Lac de Gras and also in North Carolina and with everything that North Arrow is working on. And I'm sure it's going to be a very interesting summer and a very interesting year for North Arrow.
Well, thanks, John, for those very kind and maybe a bit flattering comments. I feel obliged to get out there and find something now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Grin. And you've been listening to a special audio interview on Bull Market Run with myself, John Hallstein, editor of Bull Market Run, and Mr. Gren Thomas, president and CEO of North Arrow Minerals. This is Bull Market Run, where we bring you home run opportunities in the junior resource sector.